Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good, good. Are you excited to be here this morning? And we lined up. We heard the gunshot. We went running, and we have ran and ran and ran all year long. And now we are here. The very end, chapter 13 of Hebrews. How amazing is it to be able to say that we have went through and studied every word in the book of Hebrews? That we have read it, that we have studied it, that we have placed it on our hearts? Now the question is that as we go through this, and before we even get into that, I want to share, if you haven't been able to go through all of Hebrews every week, let's say you were sick or you just came in sometime through the year and you haven't been able to go through it, you can go to our website and you can go back and listen to all but I think one, am I right? That was the great blackout of 2022. You remember Tyler? Oh yeah, we remember. We have them all right there. So if you want to go back and you want to study, you want to dig into the book of Hebrews, man, we have that opportunity. But we are at the end of a race. We're at the end. Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever been on a trip that took some significant amount of time, away from people that you loved? Anybody ever been there? Raise your hand if you've been there before. You've been there before, okay? And as that trip extends out, I remember one of the last trips that I took when I used to travel for my last job. It lasted 28 days. I was away from my family. And not only was I away from my family, I was out in the remote parts of Alaska, and I was camping, and I was working all day. Believe it or not, before I went to Y-12, I used to work for a living. I did. But for 28 days, we would wake up, and part of that was camping in a tent and waking up in the morning, taking your bath with your baby wipes and getting out, digging all day, placing towers up, and sending a message on a satellite phone that you hoped would get back to your family. And what you would do is you would go in and you would type everything that you could just quickly think of to type, because you didn't want to go on forever and ever, but you got to the end and you knew you were coming home. And I remember the last messages before I started that long trip home. And the last messages were just excitement. And I would try to throw in everything that happened and everything needed to be happening until I got home in that message. And I remember just saying, oh, one more thing and one more thing. I know I got to go. But I couldn't wait until the day that I could see my family and friends again. Now we get, and as we read deeper into this in the book of Hebrews, we're getting to the very end. The writer has spent all of these pages, all of these words, talking to and sharing and letting us know why we need to follow Christ, letting the Jews know that why they needed to follow Christ and not the Old Testament law, why it's okay to say that Christ is the only way to heaven, why it is so important for us to seek the cross. Luke, do you have the words to that last song, the very last thing that we sang here? And it is unbelievably important as we dig into the text. Because if there is anything that the writer wants to get through in his book here, if there's anything that he wants to get, his prayer would be this: show us Christ. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. Oh God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word until every heart confesses Christ is Lord. And as I read that, that is exactly what the writer has been saying all the time. And you say, but Kirill, I'm not a preacher. In the sense of the way that we have turned it into today, maybe you don't consider yourself a preacher, but let me change that word just a little bit in a way that every one of us should be able to relate, and we should be able to claim that we are a proclaimer of Christ. Are you a proclaimer of Christ? Let me ask you that. Are we proclaimers? And we should be able to say yes. And we should go out and seek to proclaim Christ in every situation, everywhere that we are, in every way possible. And you know when we can finish? Until every heart confesses Christ is Lord. That's when we can finish. So if you have a spouse or a child in your home that hasn't confessed that yet, you can't stop proclaiming to your family. If you have neighbors that are living beside you that don't proclaim Christ as their Savior and Lord, then you have to keep proclaiming. If you have enemies in your life that don't seek Christ and don't see Him as their Christ and Savior, then you have to throw back the enemy status and proclaim Christ to them. If you have people that you love dearly or hate or don't know or whatever, and you could get to the point and say that I don't know if they know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you have to keep proclaiming. And I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you that I do not know the multiple billion people in this world. I do not know each and every one of them intimately. I don't. I'm going to tell you, if you come and walk with me, I know some of you, my wife jokes around, Luke's been with me. I can walk through the Kingston football stands in the middle of a home game, and I walk through and I get my name shouted like 25 times, and this is a regular occurrence. There are people that come and speak to me and give me hugs sometimes and tell stories sometimes, and I don't know them. Because I don't think I've ever seen them in my entire life. Just the other day, I was talking to Tyler. Tyler mentioned that there was a gentleman that he was filling in for in Mill Creek, and I was able to go. Ronton and myself and Terry, we went up to our annual meeting, and the worship leader there said, I said, hey, I want to introduce myself. My name's Kirill. I believe Tyler and Aaron have helped fill in for you guys before. He said, I know who you are. I've never seen this guy before in my life. Never saw him before in my life, but he knew who I was. And I'm here to tell you, if I don't know, I didn't know who he was, then I can't not proclaim the gospel to him, whether he knows it or not, because one of the first ways that I have to learn how to love somebody is to share the gospel with them, to let them know who my Savior is, and hopefully that can lead into a relationship with them in which they have a Savior, the Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you don't know the other several billion people in this world, we can't stop proclaiming. We can't. Don't get lazy. We're at the end of the book here. We're on our way home. And here, starting at verse 15, this is what the writer says. And I'm going to go ahead and just say it. I may be wrong. But I'm going to say this is what Apollos is saying right here, okay? It's at the end. It's at the end, even though there's some things that look like it may be Paul. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. It's Apollos. And then we'll go from there. Apollos is saying in verse 15, therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such a sacrifice. Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Pray for us. For we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. And I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will. Work in us what is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to receive this message of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Be aware that our brother Timothy has been released. If he comes soon enough, he will be with me when I see you. Greet all your leaders and all your saints. Those who are from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you. Amen. Oh, man. I mean, come on. From this stage, from the pulpit, from this stance, from wherever you claim, we have read every word in the book of Hebrews together. We have studied it, and it ends with grace be with you all. Let me go back here and start. It says in verse 15, it says, therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. Now, if we go back and we study, when you got to start thinking about that word sacrifice. We talked about the definition of love is sacrifice. Sacrifice is when we give something up. But you got to think from a Jewish standpoint, when they were thinking about the sacrifices, they were actually thinking of the sacrificial system. They were thinking about the law and the things that they had to do in order to be able to be right with God, to atone for their sins. And think of all of the animals that were sacrificed and all the things that were sacrificed. And the writer says something that is totally off from everything that is in their system. He says, give them the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of the lips that confess his name. Praise Jesus. Sacrificially praise Jesus. And he said, wait a minute, now how could praising Jesus be sacrifice whenever we take everything else that means something to us, everything else that we think gives us some sort of value, everything else that we think gives us hope, and we set all that aside and we say that no matter what it is, where we're at, that the only thing that matters is we are going to praise Jesus with all that we have and all that we are. We're not going to worry about all the other works of the world until first we can praise Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Quit thinking about all of the other things. Start praising. Allow it to know that our relationship with Christ, that faith that we have in Jesus, and we talk about how do we know someone is a follower of Christ? We know them by the fruit that they bear. Let the fruit of our lips show that Christ is our Lord and Savior. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, in every conversation we have, allow people to know that the reason that I am having this discussion, the reason that I am where I am, the reason that I have come to the conclusion that I have came to is because first Jesus. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. What are we sharing? How do we do good? We go back to that original prayer, is that we proclaim Christ. That has to be the center of everything that we do. Everything that we share Christ. Don't start, he's telling them, don't go back to all of the things that the law tells you to do. Don't go back to that time frame. Don't be going back to death. Come into life. Come into a relationship with Jesus. Proclaim his name. Let people know who you are. Don't worry about the other things. But here's the thing. Let me ask you. Sometimes have we ever get caught up in a situation where we have just done something our entire life one way and we think that's the only way to do it and we go down that path where we have done it and it has worked and it has worked for forever, right? Could you imagine some of the old scribes writing down the Bible? Could you imagine them writing it over and over again and somebody coming out and saying, man, I've got a laptop. I can top that thing up real good. I even got the spell checker on there. We don't got to mess it up. And then you know what? As soon as we type it up and we've got the spell checker on, everything looks good. We're going through. I can print that thing a billion times. And us saying, we want to keep with the old way. Could you imagine going back to doctors back in the day and when they would tell you that certain things like drinking a teaspoon of castor oil, a tablespoon of castor oil, anybody want to go back to those days to fix ailments? Yeah, some of y'all laugh because you've had that before, right? Kiddos, you may drink the Pepto-Bismol and think it's terrible. You never had the castor oil. Bring me the Pepto, am I right? Yeah. There's a lot of things that we don't want to go back to. Why? Because it isn't the best. It isn't the best way it may have been at the time, in the same way that the law was appropriate for the time because Christ had not come yet. But do not put the law over Christ. Christ is the reason that we were able to come into God's presence, not the law. The law kept us away from him. And here, the writer is saying that you have to continue in your love of Christ. And we see that just a little bit later here. And I want to jump for just a second. Normally we go straight through, but I really want to share because I feel as though when the writer was writing this, that he said, hey, wait a minute, let me go back and share something with you here. In verse 18, after he says, commit to Christ, show to Christ, speak Christ, love Christ, he says, pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. What do you wish you have to have a clear conscience from? What would the writer here, what would Apollos here have to say that I have a clear conscience for? Because sometimes when we go and we do things that are, even though they are right, that whole idea of tradition and things that have to be in the way they go, that they sometimes come back creeping over us. And do not fear, because this, that the writer here is, he knows God and he would have followed the law previous to Christ coming, but he was always looking forward to Christ. And he says, because of my knowledge of what God has given me through his word, I can have a clear conscience and not going back to the sacrificial system. I don't have to mix the law with grace. I was under the law, now I have grace. I used to not be good enough, now Christ makes me whole. I don't have to go back and sacrifice. My conscience doesn't make me go back in there and say that, wait a minute, just to be safe, let's go sacrifice some animals and then we'll proclaim Christ. Why? Why is it that we don't go back and sacrifice and then proclaim Christ? And let me tell you. Because if somewhere deep down inside of me, I have to go back and sacrifice, I'm claiming that Christ isn't enough. If there is something in your life that you think you have to do, I have to do something to get into heaven, I have to work, I have to show God, I have to do this, Yeah, I know I believe in Christ, but I have to do something to prove myself. That's a faith issue. That doesn't mean that I don't want to do more. I don't want to seek Christ. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I think that there is something that I can do to enter heaven and that Christ isn't enough, then I need to get into a closer relationship with Christ because Christ is enough, despite of myself. Because whatever you have to offer is but filthy rags, the Bible tells us. So if you place yourself in there, if the writer of Hebrews tells the Jews, if you Jews, you followers of God, have to put the Old Testament law into this, and you have to go into that sacrificial system and say, let's mix it up into a variety of things and let Christ be a part of it, that's not enough. Christ doesn't need to be a part of your life. He doesn't need to be a part of your belief. He doesn't need to be a part of your day. He doesn't need to be a part of your work. He needs to be all of it. Every aspect of it. Now we can get into a situation where we truly understand. Now I jumped there to verse 18 because I thought it was really important that when we start talking about the sacrifices and we start proclaiming Christ and then we can turn away from the other, it was really important to say then we need to do that with a clear conscience. But as we go into proclaiming Christ, realize in the same way that he has gone through, the writer of Hebrews here goes in and says, obey your leaders and submit to them since they keep watch over your souls, so those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. You guys ever remember back in the day, I'm helping and being a part of coaching and have been since about 2004 in baseball. I've been part of KOC and I've been coaching for about 18 years now. And every time that we start the season, we ask a question to the kids. Hey, what's your favorite position? Where do you like to play? And as the kids get older, eventually they get into the same situation, right? And they tell you, hey, we all want to be, now in Keone's age group, when they start kid pitch, they all want to be a pitcher. Everybody wants to pitch. And so if you leave it up to the general team to choose where they want to be, in football, most people would want to be what? The quarterback. In baseball, they want to be the pitcher. And if you leave it up to the kids to decide where they want to go, then you have utter chaos. And see, whenever the kids think that they get a portion, and parents, you know how this is. Whenever your kids think that they have a little bit of input into the situation, then they don't follow in the way that they're supposed to, we get chaos in the household, am I right? We do. First and foremost, each and every one of us has to submit to Christ. We can't put our own thought process into any of that. We have to submit to Christ. And then Christ has established a system within our household with a father being the leader, a mother being second in line, still submitting to her husband, but the husband's job is to first submit to Christ. And his job is to sacrifice more than anybody else for everybody else in the household. Everybody wants to be the dad until they see the sacrifice that has to come in to be the dad. And in that same situation, God says, hey, I have set up the church in a certain way in which I have shepherds that are to shepherd the flock. And it's not the flock's job to teach the shepherd, but the shepherd to teach the flock. And we think that there is some sort of area that brings even more glory to the shepherd. But right here it says, obey your leaders and submit to them real quickly, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. The leader's job is not to only watch out for himself and his household, but he has to give account for everyone else. See, rarely do we want to get into that situation where we have to give an account for people. You say, but what? In which way should we do that? Well, if we go back here, Jesus gives a perfect account of how a leader should go, in a way that he should, the way that he should lead. Jesus is doing something here in John chapter 13. If you want to open your Bibles up to John chapter 13, he does something that is really difficult. And in this society, I know there are some people that there are things that you just don't want to do. And I couldn't imagine something that was a more difficult task, something that brought more humility, that brought you down more than taking somebody that had walked in sandals all over the place and their feet in terrible disorder and all the dirt on, than to sit down and wash their feet for them. What a show of humility. What a show of sacrifice. What a show of love. And in our society, we think the higher that we go, the less likely we are to have to do the jobs such as washing the feet. But however, Jesus says differently. It says, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew. He washes the feet. Let's go to verse 12. It says, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you, for you. He doesn't go to the crowd and say, hey, you guys need to wash these guys' feet. And he doesn't go to them and say, hey, disciples, you need to come wash my feet. First, he stands up and he sacrifices himself to wash the feet of the disciples. And then he says, go out and wash the others' feet. Truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than one than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. Let's not forget that as he's washing the feet of his disciples, that one of the men sitting there is Judas. Not only is he following, are we to follow in his love for the ones that are in like mind of him, but is also in his love and sacrifice in the way that he loves Judas in the same situation. He still washes his feet. The same one that is going to turn him over. The same one that's going to lead to the crucifixion is sitting there. I am telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. Truly I tell you, whoever receives anyone I send, receives me. And the one who receives me receives him who sent me. God sent Jesus for us. Jesus sends us people to proclaim the name and to lead his church for him. That is the order in which we go. That is why it is really important for us to know, because in that last verse there, in verse 20, I want to read it one more time. And when our following and in our leading and in godly men and women that lead us, truly I tell you, whoever receives anyone I send, so if Jesus sends somebody to proclaim his word and you receive them, then you receive him. And anyone that I send receives me. So if you receive them, that you also receive Christ. And if you receive Christ, then you receive grace and mercy of the Father. Why? Because in every aspect, it is still glorifying. And here, speaking to the Jews that he's talking about, their main goal, they think, is to love God. And what better way to love God than to love his son that he sent for you? Because that is the plan. That is what gives you grace. Jesus' sacrifice for us. He goes on, says, I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. It shows the importance of our, that even when we are just in the congregation, when we are there and we are worshiping and we are studying and we are doing all of the things that we think we need to do, that we need to be praying, that we need to be in our constant talk with God, that then praying for our leaders. You want to be a part of a healthy church, pray for that church. You want healthy leadership, pray for your leadership. Leaders, if you want a healthy congregation, pray for your congregation. If you want your neighbor that I talked about earlier that doesn't know Christ to know Christ, proclaim Christ and then pray for them. Speak Christ into their lives and then go call God's name out and beg for his mercy and grace upon them as well. Now may the God of peace who brought us up from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. I love how he calls God the God of peace. How can we have a God of peace when all we hear about is if you don't follow him that he is a wrathful God as well? Why? Because he seeks peace through Jesus. He doesn't seek for the Jews to continue in the law. He doesn't cast them to continue in death. He wants to save them from that. He wants to bring them into a relationship with him. Then the only way to do it is through Jesus Christ, through his son, through the sacrificial lamb that he provided for us. So the peace that he gives is in the name and in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the peace. That is why he is the God of peace. He would have been absolutely okay to have let us just go on and live away from him, and we would have deserved his wrath for forever. We would have. Why? Because we fell short. We did what he asked us not to do. We separated ourselves from him. We sinned. We did all that. We put the sin in this world. If you want to know why is there so much evil in the world, it's because we did that. And yet his love for us brings Jesus into our life. The great shepherd of the sheep, as we have talked about through all 13 chapters, that Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. He came in to guide us in the direction. And through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are able to be saved. Equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. In his last message, in his last and final words, in all that he has left, he is saying first, praise God and proclaim his name. Know that you don't have to worry about the old way in which you lived under death. Know that Jesus came and gave his life freely for us, even though we aren't deserving of it. He came and he shepherded us, even though we were sheep seeking to get out. He corralled us back in and he sacrificed us. And who do we give the glory to? No one other than Jesus. He says it all right here in his farewell, in his last words to the Hebrews. Everything that we have studied, angels and priests, Moses, Abraham, Enoch, everything that we have studied leads to the cross. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to receive this message of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Be aware that our brother Timothy has been released. If he comes soon enough, he will be with with me when I see you. He seeks to see their face. Greet all your leaders and all your saints, those who are coming from me. Send your greetings. Grace be with you all. Ryder has poured it all out. Poured it all out for them. He tells them, I seek to be there with you. See, some of you sitting here today have maybe heard the gospel your entire life and you don't understand what it truly means. You think that just coming to church is just something that we do, that we gather together because that's what we've done for generations and generations. And going to church has become a tradition. And I will tell you, for some of us, it has. It's just been another traditional thing that we do. I laugh and joke. Everybody has walked in. Not very many have mentioned it, but we have, if you notice, Duke the Christmas gnome sitting in the back. Everybody get a little giggle out of it. Why? Because this is just a traditional thing, and I know it bugs Luke to death when I talk about it. And I do it. But just because it becomes natural to do. That's not what church is all about, even though we can find joy in doing things and in the way that we do them. But the question is, what is our relationship with Christ when we celebrate, when we break out the things such as the gnomes, or the trees, or we're getting into that season. Thank goodness Halloween's finally almost over the day before. We finally get to get into Christmas season and pre-Christmas Thanksgiving meal. Thank goodness we get to get into all that, and we talk about all the traditions and everything else, and we go through all that. But what I want you to know is that we cannot get into a situation where we have done, where we just tell our kids that we have to wake up Sunday morning because it's what we do, and somebody has to know that we are better than everybody else, and you've got to be there because it's just what happens in life because we live in East Tennessee. I don't want that to be the reason that we go to church. I want to be able to go to church on Sunday mornings for us to gather for the same reason that we wake up every day, and it is because that is a time in which I can glorify God with my life. I can gather together with the saints in order to glorify God, and I want to be there because God seeks for me to be there. I want to go to work because God seeks for me to be able to speak His word and proclaim His word at my job. I want to go to the doctor's office when something is bad in my life so that I can proclaim, even in the hardest points of my life, that Christ is still Lord. I want to be able to go to my friend's house and say that I love you, but not as much as Christ, and I have to share Christ with you. I want to go and break all of the traditions of this life, not for the purpose of breaking them, but because Christ is enough. Christ is enough, and no matter how far you are away from the cross, no matter how much you think that you don't care about the cross, I'm going to tell you, Christ is seeking you to follow Him. Give your life over to Him. Allow yourself to know that your worth is only gauged by the Savior's sacrifice and grace for us. That's what gives me worth. You want to know what I'm worth? Look at the one that sacrificed for me. You want to know what you're worth? You're worth so much that the Creator and Savior of the world came down to this earth, walked as a man, showed us how we should walk, freely climbed upon that cross and gave His life for you, rose on that third day to show and prove that He was God. He did that for you, for each and every one that calls Him Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for allowing us to go through and Your word, Lord. I just ask that you continue to bless us, that you continue to be with us, but in the way that you continue to show Jesus in our lives, Lord, that all the other things that are shown in this world, people that people say or proclaim make us great, Lord, whether it be money or fame or whatever desires that we have, that you wash all those things out of our life, that you throw them out and allow us to see nothing but the cross, to allow us to see nothing but the blood of Jesus, and allow us to feel nothing but your spirit and grace and love in our lives. Lord, I'm asking that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, that you go into their lives, that you say that you are going to set up residence in their lives, Lord, that you are going to be their Savior, Lord, that you call upon them, and that your Spirit gives them the ability to answer that call, Lord, and then you make them new, and you make them in a way that glorifies you with every breath, Lord. And whenever they go and they step away and do something wrong, that they seek quickly to get back to you. Lord, allow us to see nothing else. Allow us to know nothing else but Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you guys, before we get into this last song, that you be in prayer. We are in prayer and we're getting ready to be in some discussion on what book we're going to go to next. I think going through the entire book of Hebrews has just been fantastic. I've enjoyed it, and I really would like at the beginning of this next year to jump right in and go into another book and study and see what God's Word is. So in order for us to do that in the best way possible, I'm asking you as a congregation to be praying that God lays it on our hearts on what Fireside needs to be studying and proclaiming left. I beg you to do that. I beg you to see His favor in everything, to seek His favor in everything. And I ask that your prayers, that you pray for me, that you pray for all of our elders and our deacons and for our worship teams, and you pray for the one sitting beside you, that as we go into this time of sorrow and for some, and this time of joy for others in these holiday seasons, that we are able to be that beacon that shows Christ to the world. It's asked that you be in prayer for those things. Thank you.